Hiding Scotch Potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Kristen Dreyer Kramer, and you are listening to Fat Guys at the Movies.
Yes, you are. And if you notice, it is not the fact that Neil finally changed into a woman. Neil is gone right now. We have banned him from this magical studio in the sky, mainly because he's all posh and going out to Park City.
Well, yes.
Going to Park City. He's going to the Sundance Film Festival, and he's going to get fatter because it's cold up there and he's not going to do any sort of activity and just sit around and watch movies all day.
Well, you need a little extra fat to keep warm out there.
I know.
From what I hear.
You need the blubber. Well, of course, you also need the blubber here in Columbus, Ohio.
That's true. It is very cold out.
It is like one.
It was minus one when I left this morning.
The only thing that keeps me sort of level on this is the fact that I do radio call-ins to a station in Fargo, North Dakota.
So that it's worse there?
Yeah. KMGO in Fargo. And usually, and like in like Thanksgiving week, I'm like calling them, they're like, yeah, we got 20 degrees below zero, wind chills of 45 below, 18 inches of snow expected in the next 3 hours kind of thing.
See, I grew up in Michigan where it is way colder than it is here. And for me, you know, really this is no big deal and it's kind of natural, but it's still cold and I really don't feel like I need to go outside anymore.
Yeah, it's cold. I sleep with a heating pad.
Nice.
Awesome. And yeah, I like hibernating. I haven't been outside for days.
I wish I hadn't, but I had to get here.
Yes, to the remote magical studio in the sky.
Yes.
And if you didn't hear, this is Kristen Dreyer Kramer from nightsandweekends.com.
Yes.
And one of the biggest movie and review sites on the internet.
I'm pretty sure it is.
At least
it's huge
in your favorites list. Yeah. But we've had Kristen on before a couple times. It's been a while.
Yeah, a little while.
It's been a while. It's just that Neil and I have been hogging the magical studio, so.
And you're entitled.
That's the way it goes. But now, since he's off partying with celebrities, he said he's going to make out with some celebrities.
Really?
Top of the list.
Will there be photographs involved?
John Stamos.
Well, I can see that.
I don't even know if John's. I got to admit, John Stamos, man. John Stamos and Hugh Jackman, those are the guys, if I were to go to the other team, those guys could probably...
I can understand that. I can see Hugh Jackman.
Yeah. Gary Shandling, not so much.
Gary Shandling.
No. Anyway.
I think that's pretty much all Neil could get, though.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that if there's going to be a little bit of man love, it's going to be Neil and Gary Shandling. We'll see if Peter Cerretta from Slash Film will videotape that.
Nice.
We'll put it up on the site. But in the meantime... You're waiting for that.
Last time I was here, we had the Neil Miller sock puppet, I was just wondering if he's here today.
Oh, he might make an appearance. See, I think he's in his dressing room. Are you ready yet? Neil Miller. There he is. He's getting dressed. He's making himself beautiful for radio. Yes, you did enjoy the sock puppet. I remember that.
It was enjoyable.
He might bring us out of the next break.
Okay.
So, but we need to get to reviewing films first.
Oh, right. That's why we're here.
Because there's a ton coming out.
Yes.
And we're actually shaving off one and leaving it till next week because there's so many. But you will have to wait to see what it is.
Oh.
But anyways, if you want to get a hold of us, fatguysatthemovies.com, you can go to iTunes, search Fat Guys at the Movies. We pop right up. And you can email us, fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com. Or you can leave us a voicemail, which we won't get until Neil gets back because he won't give me his password. 614-388-8735. Was there somebody wandering around outside?
I was just wondering if the guy with the jacket was back.
Yeah, there's somebody outside the magical studio in the sky in an orange jacket stalking us.
I'm a little scared that there will be gunfire soon.
Let's move on. Hotel for Dogs. Let's start off with this one.
Yes.
This is about two orphans who take over an abandoned hotel and keep dozens of stray dogs there.
Are you thinking what I'm thinking?
Oh yeah, why don't we just wander the streets and rescue every stray we see?
Bow wow wow, yibby-yo, yibby-yay, bow wow, yibby-yo, yibby-yay.
We got a stray on St. Andrews and 6th.
Come on guys, you're being rescued.
Here, doggy.
You made this?
Yeah, let's take care of them, even when we're not here.
Oh, poop! Who poops on the floor?
That's awesome.
Now, Kristen, this is not a typical... This is a typical January release,
would you say? A little bit, yeah, I would say so.
What'd you think of it?
You know, there were times when, as I was explaining later, that, you know, I thought, this is a really cute movie. This is a cute family movie. It's got cute kids and cute puppy dogs. And there are some times when I thought, you know what? I would rather stab my eye out with a fork than continue on.
Was the stabbing the eye out with a fork have to do with dogs?
No, I think it may have had to do with Lisa Kudrow.
Yeah, she was bad in this.
She was terrible.
Didn't she make enough money in Friends?
You would think so.
She like got like $1 million an episode, and they did like 100 or 200 episodes.
Hummers are expensive.
Oh, you're talking the car.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I was... Sorry.
Over here, focus.
going down the wrong road. You know, I have to agree. I thought the story, which is about the kids, mm-hmm. which stars... Emma Roberts, who's Julia Roberts' niece.
Yes.
Who's starting to look really kind of Miley Cyrus-ish. You know,
she's yeah.
starting to grow up here.
It is kind of crazy because the last time we saw her was what?
Nancy Drew.
And that was almost 2 years ago.
She was just on the cusp of starting to look attractive, but mm-hmm. you could tell she was in that awkward stage. Yeah. Now she's starting to look really, and looking
she's
like
she's really cute. Yeah. Yeah.
And isn't she Eric Roberts' daughter?
I believe so.
Okay. So he was in The Dark Knight.
Mm-hmm.
So that was his claim to fame. Anywho. Yeah. Oh, and they ate him in South Park.
Well, there you go.
they were trapped in a snowstorm. So we don't have Eric Roberts here in the magical studio in the sky. If he were, he would have become our lunch because we're snowed in.
Yes.
But I thought the dogs were cute.
The dogs were adorable, even the ones that eat everything.
Yeah. Well, the big bulldog.
And all the little inventions that the little brother comes up with, yeah. you know, for waste removal. And yes, things like that.
There's a little bit of poo in this movie.
A little bit, as you can imagine, with a movie about dogs.
Yeah, why not?
So, those parts were cute.
You know, I have to say, pretty much when the dogs were on screen, I was with it.
Mm-hmm.
And when the kids, when they tried to do the kids' story, not that good.
Yeah, and at the same time, I kind of felt like it was so calculated and so manipulative. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got these adorable little orphans who... You know, they're so cute and they're so sweet and they're so smart, but nobody loves them.
Yeah.
And, you know, you have the puppies who they even throw in a three-legged dog in there
I know.
To make you feel worse.
You really felt like bad. You felt like the dog was being exploited. When it shows up on screen, you're like, ooh, that's just in bad taste.
And, you know, they make a big deal about it. They've got all these dogs and if, you know, they end up in the pound, they're all going to die.
Yeah.
So... We have to take care of the orphans and the puppies.
You know, you forgot to mention the best thing in this movie.
What was that?
Kevin Dillon.
Oh.
in the greatest role he's played since Poseidon. So
yeah.
What's your review of this?
My review, I would have to say, kind of sucks.
Kind of sucks. You know, I'm going to be with you on that one. Kind of sucks. It didn't fully suck. I took my kids. I took my 5-year-old and my 7-year-old. They loved it because it's got dogs and it's got poop jokes.
Well, yeah. And you can't go wrong there. Yeah. And so for most kids, that's going to be enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it had some good slapstick. But yeah, you're right. It did kind of hammer away the whole, these dogs are going to die.
The puppies.
No, yes.
Save the puppies.
Yeah. Well, so that's the official kind of sucks on that one. Oh, we got to go to a break, though, because we spent all the time talking about Neil at Sundance making out with John Stamos. But now we're going to go to a break, and when we come back, we're going to hit the other movies that are opening wide this second release weekend in January.
Hi there, I'm Neil Miller, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies.
Did you hear that? The sock puppet came out of
that
its
is great.
Dressing room.
And he looks good.
He does look good.
He looks good. It was a good makeup job.
He's dressed to the nines, got a little bit of a lipstick smudge from making out with John Stamos. Not Hugh Jackman. Hugh Jackman's way out of Neil's league.
Oh, definitely.
Way out of Neil's league. Actually, I think Neil's league is probably like Jason Biggs.
Oh, poor Jason Biggs.
We'll talk more about him later in the show. But now let's move on to other movies. What do you think we're going to talk about now, Sock Puppet?
Let's talk about something romantic.
So there we go. Something romantic. Let's do My Bloody Valentine.
Sounds good to me.
In 3D. It's an R-rated slasher film in digital 3D. What's not to love about that?
I can't imagine.
This is the most horrific event this town has ever seen. Authorities are calling this the Valentine's Day Massacre.
In the town of Harmony, something unexplainable.
Hello?
Is happening.
Come here, you better check this out.
What is it?
Nothing says date movie like a 3D ride to hell.
They didn't screen this one for us.
No.
Are you surprised?
Not really, no.
No.
Although it is January, so really, I mean, there's nothing else.
January horror movies, they didn't screen The Unborn. Last year, they didn't screen One Missed Call. They didn't screen The Eye. It's Lionsgate, which they screened Punisher and The Spirit for us, right. And those didn't do well, so they may be rethinking their screening for critics. Although, I don't think our reviews had anything to do with
it. No. If they make better movies, we'll give them good reviews.
I actually gave positive reviews for both of them.
Really?
Yeah. Hmm. You're like, you're okay. Stupid, Kevin. What are you thinking?
Moving on.
But yeah, My Bloody Valentine. I actually want to see this one simply because it's R-rated and it's a slasher movie and things are going to be flying in
and
your
it's
face.
3D.
That's going to be awesome.
Why would you not want to see it? I kind of wanted to see it too.
I think there's only been two slasher movies ever made in 3D. And the first one they did was, if you don't count like Creature from the Black Lagoon. Okay. Which really wasn't slasher. If you talk like 80s on, they did Friday the 13th Part 3.
3D, yes.
3D. And they also did, they did one of the Nightmare on Elm Street movies. But it wasn't all in 3D. It was just like the last dream sequence was in 3D. And Tom Arnold was in it. And Roseanne Barr.
That is no dream.
Which was scary enough.
That is a nightmare.
I don't know if they weren't in 3D though. I don't know if that counts for anything.
It does help.
Yeah. But anyways, that's gets a preemptive suck.
Yes.
Take that, Lionsgate. You can suck it. let's move on to another movie that has the star in three dimensions. The hardest movie to pronounce this year so far.
So far. Yeah.
Paul Blart Mall Cop.
Yes.
This is Fat Guy in a Mall Falling Down, starring
Pretty
Kevin
much.
James.
There you go.
Our security's fine, but ultimately we rely on the hope that nothing ever goes down.
It's some crazy people trying to take over the mall.
Reports are they're inside the bank.
Oh, God. I need you to exit the building immediately.
I took a sworn oath to protect this mall and all inside it.
Well, Sergeant, looks like you got your eyes on the inside.
Is he crying?
Safety never takes a holiday.
So I'm going to let you take a point on this one again, Kristen.
Oh, where do I even begin with this one?
Okay.
I think I actually need to make up new words to explain just how bad this movie is.
Wow.
Yes.
You hated it that much.
I did.
Worst movie of the year so far?
Definitely, yes. Yeah, okay. Which, you know, there were two others.
Of course, you didn't see Not Easily Broken, did you?
No.
Yeah, that one's way up there.
Yeah. Well, there's that. I did skip that one, so.
So what didn't you like?
Well, you know, it wasn't even funny to begin with. I think the fact that they take a main character that really should be a funny side character and try to make him, you know, the center of a story just didn't work. And then just the fact that pretty much the entire comedy comes from him being fat and falling down.
Here's where I agree with you, where in the beginning I didn't like it. I thought the first half was pretty bad. Real slow starter. They're trying to do characterization and stuff, and it wasn't working.
No.
And Jemma Mays is in it, and while I'm totally hot for Jemma Mays, she existed in that movie to just basically blink your really huge, adorable eyes. And that's it. She had no personality. She was just smiling. Huh?
Well, it was pretty clear that the whole film was written by a four-year-old.
Or Adam Sandler. It was Adam Sandler's company that did it.
Well, right. Actually, Kevin James co-wrote it.
Did he co-write it?
Yes.
He's gotten huge, too. And I'm not talking celebrity status.
He is huge.
He's gotten big.
Yeah.
Anywho, I thought that by the time it got to about near the end, halfway through, where they just kind of abandoned story and just said, hey, we're just going to have a whole lot of jokes about a fat guy falling down. I have to admit, I did kind of like it then.
Depends on what you're looking for.
I wasn't looking for much.
No, clearly.
And I did bring my son. I brought my 7-year-old to this, and he absolutely loved it. So
it's fat guy falling down.
Well, you know, for a father-son bonding moment, you know, fat guy's falling down works.
There you go.
So I'm going to actually say kind of rocks on this one.
I give this one a totally sucks.
Totally sucks.
Yes.
Couldn't suck more?
No.
Wow. Well, let's move on to another fat guy. This is like a fat guy
fat
show.
Fat guy week.
We don't have a fat host because Kristen's svelte.
Well.
You know, but she's an honorable fat guy.
You're trying to feed me with cookies.
You're sitting there. You have great willpower.
It's tough.
Yeah.
I'm right above a plate of cookies.
Yeah. But she's neither fat nor a guy. So we'll do better next time.
I'm a double negative.
I guess so.
Yeah.
So at least So I couldn't.
Does that make
like
a positive?
Fat guy and skinny girl in a movie? Nah, it doesn't work. No, we'll just move on. So another fat guy, Notorious, is the new movie we're talking about. This is the relatively short life and time of Biggie Smalls.
One of you is going down for carrying an illegal firearm. You decide who.
This music you got going on, it don't come around every day. When you make it, we all make it.
If I don't make it,
not going back on the block. Not if I take this bid for your ass.
It's my life, you feel me? Tell Puff I'm down with chasing the dream. Whatever he want me to do, I'm in.
The West Coast, they got Snoop, they got Dre. The East Coast, they just waiting for somebody to fill that void.
Puff, maybe in the right hands, I could be one of the greatest.
Now, are you into rap music, Chris?
Not really.
No?
No.
Had you listened to Biggie Smalls?
Not
or the Notorious
much.
B.I.G.?
Not so much. You know, if I was doing rap when I was, you know, around that time, it was more like House of Pain.
Christmas rapping?
Cypress Hill.
See, I did.
You know, the white guys rapping.
The white guys rap? You're that whole, you're Eminem peeps?
Sure.
All right.
Word.
Word to your mother? The most famous rapper ever, Vanilla Ice. I don't get into rap music at all. So I didn't know any. I literally don't know anything. I mean, I know that there was a feud, East Coast, West Coast, and that was it.
I kind of knew the story.
And I knew and Tupac Shakur gets killed.
Yes.
You know, but other than that, I really didn't. I'm like, oh, wait. Oh, that's Sean. That's Puff Daddy. And I'm like halfway through the movie realizing who these people. I'm like, wait, that's Lil' Kim. Who the girl plays Lil' Kim. She's now on my I wouldn't say to-do list, but she's I'm very attracted to her.
She is good.
And she has a great scene in this movie.
And yeah, multiple. She doesn't really wear much.
Which is awesome.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, so, the guy who plays Chris Wallace, a.k.a. Biggie Smalls, also is not wearing much in the movie.
No, unfortunately.
And there's a lot. He's like three or four times Lil' Kim.
He's a big man.
He's a big dude.
He is.
What's funny, at the press screening, they invited people from the music industry and radio stations to see it as well with the press.
Oh yes.
And so there was a group of them behind me, and they're like talking through. I'm not talking. They were like reciting the raps while they were going on.
They were
and I'm
from
like,
me.
And I'm like, I've never heard this song ever.
Maybe that's what the woman next to me was doing, because she was talking through the entire movie just to herself.
She wasn't talking to anybody.
No, because you know she was between me and another critic, so. Ah. She was just talking to herself.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
So some schizophrenic homeless person wandered into the screening.
Wouldn't be the first time.
Yeah. Well, the thing is with this movie, I don't know anything about rap, but as in terms of like a biopic, I thought it was well done in terms of the drama. Spent a little too much time in the recording studios.
Yeah. I think, you know, the whole girlfriend thing, there were so many women coming out of the woodwork on this one, and there was so much drama.
Yeah.
And it was a little overdone.
Yeah. And there's a lot of girls falling over the big fat guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, he kind of went from being the nerdy kid to suddenly becoming really cool.
Well, you know why that is.
Because he sold drugs.
Right.
Yeah, apparently. The thing I did commend the movie, although they kind of shot themselves in the foot, or shot themselves in the Hummer to be consistent. The beginning, at least, they didn't pull any punches showing kind of what a creep this guy was. I mean, he was a drug dealer. He was selling. They even had a scene where he literally sells. He's the only one in the corner who'll sell crack to the pregnant lady.
Right.
And
but he's a sweet man and he loves his mama.
He does sort of get overly redeemed at the
end.
He
loves his children.
Yeah. And that's, I thought they did. They overdid it. And the thing is, you have to look at it, and the mother helped produce it.
Right.
The real mother.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to sit there and say, what's to be proud? Okay, he accomplished something, but he was a gangster and he was a thug and he was a drug dealer. And
but
this
he
was
loved
the,
his mama.
This is the good side. this is the Puff piece, no pun intended, because it's a Puff Daddy production. But this was the good version of him. I can't imagine what the hit piece is.
Which, yeah, and I would actually, I think, be more interested in the other movie.
Yeah.
Because this one was just too fluffy. And, you know, I knew the story and I knew the background. And I was waiting for a little bit of dirt to come out.
Yeah.
You know, maybe point a couple of fingers, you know, make some guesses.
Yeah.
Do something. But it was just kind of fluff.
Well, I'm going to say it kind of rocks. What do you say on
this? I'm going to say it kind of sucks.
All right.
We'll be right back.
miles of hard road, 33 years of tough luck, 44 skulls buried in the ground, crawling down through the muck.
Oh, yeah.
Welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies. We are... Neil.
No, that was me doing the whole raise the roof thing. That sock puppet.
I thought it was the Neil Miller sock puppet doing the raise the roof thing.
John Stamos came through the room.
And oh, okay. Never mind.
Sock puppet went after him.
Okay. We are talking about...
I'm pretty sure the sock puppet is raping John Stamos.
Oh, I don't need to hear about that. Okay, on to the next movie. We are talking about Defiance.
Yeah, yes. That's James Bond taking on the Nazis in the woods.
Yes.
We need rifles. Machine guns.
We will send for everyone who is left alive.
If you save a life, you must take responsibility for it.
What if we take all of you?
With the old, the sick, there are thousands. How will we live?
We will protect you.
You are hiding here in the forest?
We will start rebuilding the lives that you have all lost. Everyone will work. There are no exceptions. And we will become warriors.
Now, this one, it, just so people know, I know it came out like the 30th or 31st.
31st, yep.
Of December.
Yep.
Which, that just yanks my chain anyways. Just release the damn movie.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one thing to say, okay, we're going to do a Christmas Day release or whatever and for like two theaters and then in January. But on New Year's Eve, for crying out loud, just announce to people, hey guys, please give us an award. Because it's about Nazis.
It's true. And it is about Nazis. Yeah. But then again, everything this December was about Nazis.
Everything, including the spirit, which had nothing to do with Nazis.
No, but there were Nazis.
You know, it's funny. I wrote an article in Film School Rejects about why there are so many Nazis and why is Christmas associated with Nazis. And somebody from Europe, I forget which what country he was from, maybe in the UK. And he writes and he's like, yeah, we're in Europe and they show The Sound of Music every Christmas, sort of like the Christmas
That's
story
true, yeah.
where they show all over the place here. And he's like, yeah, so it's just nothing but Nazis and every year.
I don't understand that.
It's not even like they have green outfits. I mean, if they like look like Christmas trees.
Or elves.
Yeah, but they look like Nazis.
When I think Christmas, I don't really think Nazis.
No. I mean, no one sits there and is like, oh, did the great Nazi come and leave us presents under the tree or anything like that? No, it's all about Santa Claus and sugar plums and
it's
fairies.
True.
And sock puppets.
Happiness and joy.
So what did you think of Defiance?
I loved it.
Really?
Yes, I did.
Loved it. Almost as much as you loved Paul Blart Mall Cop.
Close, yes. I thought, you know, it was, yes, it's a Nazi movie, but
it's a Nazi movie.
Okay.
Sure.
But at least there's a little bit of hope in it.
Okay.
You know, it's a bunch of people who got out before they were caught, and, you know, they have to struggle in the forest, and, you know, it's a little bit Robin Hood. But
yeah,
at least.
Sort of the cold Sherwood Forest.
Which was fun, you know, and that made it kind
of
entertaining.
Well, fun when you're not starving.
Right. Yeah, I know. But they had the thing, and they were in the forest. Oh, yeah. But, you know, that part, it was an entertaining story, but it was also a moving story because, you know, there was hope and, you know, they had a chance to make it out.
Sure. Well, cool. Did you like Edward Zwick's other stuff, like Last Samurai and Blood Diamond?
I was surprised that I liked The Last Samurai.
Really?
And I kind of like Blood Diamond, yes.
Okay, so you tend to like his...
Generally.
The director, okay. Yeah, because I found it very typical of his stuff.
Yeah, yep, it's the same feel.
Yeah, sort of like in Last Samurai, he dealt with Japanese feudal relations, and in Blood Diamond, he dealt with, you know, the diamond trade. And this one, Nazis going after...
Nazis, yeah.
Jewish Russians in the woods. So, I thought it was good.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think it was fantastic. It wasn't like best of the year kind of material, but it was interesting. It was really actually what's funny is they gave us screeners for this one because, you know, they so wanted awards since they were opening on December 31st
right.
in like one theater. They actually sent us screeners early and we got press screenings. It was hard to understand because apparently the Russian accents were done so well. I couldn't really understand what they were saying half the time.
Yeah, I was impressed with Daniel Craig. He does a great job.
Daniel Craig and Liev Schreiber does a great job.
And he manages to be very un-James Bond in it.
Yeah. Well, he's a great actor. I really think he is. And I actually give him credit because it's so easy to get galvanized as James Bond. I mean, Pierce Brosnan was galvanized as James Bond before he became James
Bond. Oh, definitely.
And Daniel Craig, he's managed to do stuff that's out of the box and very against the James Bond type.
And he's playing such a different James Bond too.
Yeah.
So.
But I mean, he played in the other Truman Capote movie, Infamous.
Yes. Yes.
He played the killer in that, and there's like a makeout scene with him and the sock puppet,
right?
Otherwise known as Toby Jones. But no, I mean, so I think he could pull that off. I really don't think you could not have had Roger Moore making out with anybody aside from hot chicks.
No.
in the 80s.
Daniel Craig is good.
Yeah. Daniel Craig is manly enough that he can make out with another man and still play James Bond.
Yes.
So I guess that's all I have to say about Daniel Craig. He's not on my list though. It's just John Stamos and Hugh Jackman.
Right. So I can understand that.
Yeah. So no, I thought it was good.
Yeah.
I thought it was good. So I'm going to give it a kind of rocks.
I'm going to give it a rocks.
Wow. So let's, before we move on to box office, because I don't have the information pulled up, we'll right. Let me just ask you, what do you think of the Golden Globes?
I was a little bit bored, you know.
Well, not of the ceremony. I mean, of course you're bored.
And there weren't a lot of surprises. Not really.
Are you kidding me? Heath Ledger winning Best Supporting Actor?
Yeah.
I totally didn't see that coming.
I felt bad for Robert Downey Jr., because, you know,
that was just the worst year for that movie to come out.
Yeah, if he wasn't up against Heath Ledger, I think he would have had a chance.
Yeah, I think he really would have. Although, I don't know, Tom Cruise may have...
True, because Tom Cruise was up in there, too.
That's something I wish they should do. This would actually make it more interesting, is if they actually published the results of, like, who the runner-up...
The percentages?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And to sit there and be like, yeah, Robert Downey Jr. did huge gap, but then, I don't know, who else was up for Best Supporting Actor?
I don't know.
Robert Downey
guys.
Jr. and Tom Cruise. Mm-hmm. And then, I don't know.
Some other guys.
Pauly Shore. Was he up for a Golden Globe this year?
I don't recall.
Has he ever won a Golden
Globe? I didn't see him on the red carpet, and I paid close attention.
Has his name ever been uttered in the same sentence as Golden Globe?
I don't think so.
Okay. Good to know. Good to know. That's very good to know. All right. So, but you know what I thought was interesting was Kate Winslet taking home two.
Yeah, I wasn't really expecting that, nor did I really want it.
You hated the Reader.
Yes, I did.
Yeah. Another Nazi movie.
Mm-hmm.
They just love Nazis. Hollywood just...
I'm a little tired of the Nazis already.
Yeah. You know what's so funny? Did you know what The Reader was about before you saw it?
A little bit, yeah.
I didn't know anything about it. I literally walked in, and I'm watching the movie, and I'm like, okay, this is interesting. And then May-December romance, May-September romance. Okay, fine. And I'm like, I appreciated seeing Kate Winslet naked, but I did get tired of seeing her naked.
When does it not happen, really?
Well, it's
when is she not naked?
Yeah, it's the whole thing of like, oh, she's so brave. And well, first of all, she's not 80, you know, so she's not like Kathy Bates.
No.
I mean, that was a brave nude scene from About Schmidt.
Mm-hmm.
But so I'm like, because then there's a scene where she's swimming in her underwear and she's in bra and panties and she comes out and you can see everything through her. I'm just like, oh, for crying out loud. It's like Anne Heche in the
90s. On Kate Winslet.
My word, this girl. But and then the story changed, and I was actually taken totally by surprise because I wasn't expecting it to be anything more than just this little sort of May September romance. And so I was really impressed, and I liked sort of like what they were saying with it.
Hmm.
So, but you and your Nazis.
Yeah. I thought they could have developed the story a little bit better and the relationship between them. But anyway, that's another review for a different day.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, let's move on to box office.
Okay.
Weekend. This weekend we had Gran Torino. Were you surprised that Gran Torino came in number one?
Not really.
Okay.
You know, it's Clint.
Yeah. You didn't think the Bride Wars was going to just take over that week?
No.
You didn't like Bride Wars.
I enjoyed it. I did. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's not one of those movies that makes a lot of money.
Yeah. Well, no, but 27 really Dresses last year did very well.
That's true.
So, yeah, I was surprised it didn't do that well. The Unborn I wasn't expecting to do well, but it did a lot better than I thought it was going to, especially in comparison to Bride Wars.
True.
But Gran Torino really cleaned up. And I was talking to somebody, one of the radio hosts I talk to each week, and they said that they went to go see it last weekend. Gran Torino, not Bride Wars. And they said it really had this diverse demographic. It seemed to represent people of all ages and all types who are going to see the movie.
Okay.
So I think that's part of what its success is about.
Mm-hmm.
And it has cleaning someone going,
well, get off my lawn.
How can you not go see that?
That's awesome. What do you think is going to win this weekend?
This weekend.
You think Gran Torino is going to pull it out for a second weekend in a row?
I hope so.
Okay.
Considering the other stuff I've seen this week, I hope so.
What about My Bloody Valentine? Do you think that's going to have a shot?
I don't think so.
Really?
No.
You don't think it's going to do well at all?
I think it'll do okay. I don't think it's going to end up in the top spot.
I think it's going to be kind of a horse race between Gran Torino and My Bloody Valentine. Hmm. And I think Notorious
it is in 3D.
I think Notorious is going to have a certain amount of box office share. I think that has a good shot of kind of getting in that horse race. I don't know if it's going to win.
Yeah.
Simply because there really hasn't been that sort of musician biopic recently.
It's true.
And
but you know, they play him on MTV all the time.
That's true. So
and this one will end up on MTV. So it's okay. Just wait until it shows up there. Because that's kind of where it belongs, I think.
I think if you're going to talk per theater average, I think My Bloody Valentine in the 3D spots is going to do extremely well.
Sure.
But there's only like 600-800 screens that can do 3D digital around the country. I'm going to go see it. I'm going to plop my money down and go see that movie.
I'm tempted.
Eat some popcorn and get and see young virgins' arms getting chopped off and good things like that.
I don't know. I think you could do that here, actually, with the guy across the street.
you're obsessing about...
He's kind of scary.
The guy in the yellow coat, the orange coat. Yeah, you know, it's like, speaking of slasher movies, that could be a new slasher movie, The Orange Coat. Have you ever seen, it was Urban Legend. Did you ever see Urban Legend?
Yes, yep.
Where they're sort of like, okay, we've done masks to death. We've had the hockey mask. We've done just the bag over the head. We've done, you know, the mask of scars, which is Freddy Krueger. Let's just get a coat with a big hood. And then it was basically the same deal for I Know What You Did Last Summer, wasn't
it? Yeah, he had just a big coat. Yeah.
The guy in a slicker.
Mm-hmm. So now if they just make it neon yellow.
Yeah. With a snowblower.
Give him a snowblower. Make him go door to door. Like he's doing now, and it's kind of creepy.
It could be
I'd see that.
In theaters this fall. Snowblower. My Bloody Snowblower. The only problem with My Bloody Valentine is I understand Friday the 13th is coming out on February 13th.
Right.
But My Bloody Valentine, this is just so ridiculous.
It's January.
Give it another month.
Yep.
But
I
think
agree.
they didn't want to compete.
And I can see that, but you can still come out around that time. The week before. The week before.
Yeah. But I think with how soft The Unborn was in the general scheme of things, I mean, it did make almost $20 million, but I think that My Bloody Valentine has a chance to sort of cut away some of those profits from The Unborn, which was terrible.
Yeah.
By the way.
Was it?
Yeah.
I really kind of wanted to see it.
You know, David Goyer is a great writer, but he's not a great director. And it's really just, if you take any one scene and say, this is a creepy scene, it's awesome, but they just all don't fit together.
It looked really creepy, the trailers.
It is very creepy. It has, it's like just nonstop creepy scenes that just doesn't
like
really
creepy.
Have anything to do with itself.
I enjoy sitting here with your neighbor outside.
On that note, we're going to move on. When we come back, DVD roundup and the wrap-up of the show. And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies. We are ready to wrap things up and
all
get
right.
us out for another show. You know, this is episode 99.
Well,
so
I feel honored.
You feel honored. Not as honored as... next week is
that
episode
would be
100.
Even better. But 99 is a nice, you know, round number. It's divisible by 3.
Yes, it is. Yeah. It's also divisible 11. By 11.
Yes. It's a good number.
Yeah, it's awesome. But yeah, next week is the 100th episode. Neil is, of course, boycotting it again because he's doing the Sundance thing, hobnobbing with celebrities and making out with Larry David.
It just keeps getting better.
It's just worse. Before you know it, he'll be like, oh, he's gonna make out with the Jabba the Hutt model. Actually, I don't think they can bring that to Sundance to Park City because it would just freeze.
That's true.
And shatter. But it's been close to Carrie Fisher in a bikini.
Well, there's that. Yeah. And it's giving me a terrible mental image, though.
Yeah. Well, it's not like I'm talking about myself in a brass bikini.
No.
Now you've got that image in your head.
Thank you.
Don't you?
Yeah. I'm not going to sleep tonight.
All right. Well, let's get on to the next segment we've got is the DVD roundup.
Yes.
Yes, which I normally do the whip sound. So you can do the whip sound.
No.
Yeah, do it. Come on. There you go. Right. Move them out. Run them out. Rawhide. This is for the DVDs that came out this week. I'll let you go first, Kristen. I'm being the gentleman here.
Well, thank you. Because I am picking a girly movie this week. My pick is Brideshead Revisited.
Yes.
And because I am a literary geek, I am a sucker for movies like this one.
Yes.
And it's got Emma Thompson in it, so you can't go wrong.
Yes. Well, you could go wrong.
Well, a little bit.
Could have Pauly Shore in it as well.
I don't think Emma Thompson would do a movie with Pauly Shore.
Andy Dick? That would be funny. Oh. That actually would make it a great movie.
You would like it.
Yes.
If somebody gets hit by a bus, I'm in.
You know what? Did you watch... You get a whole bunch of DVDs. Did you get Skins?
No.
It's a BBC show. It actually... There's a little bit of a spoiler, so if you want to see it, just turn down your podcast for the next, like, 10 seconds or so. But, like, the season finale, somebody gets hit by a bus.
Sweet.
Awesome.
And it's on the BBC.
Yes.
Go figure.
Is it a
big red bus? Double-decker? Come on.
No, it's like a tour bus.
That's
tough. And then, did you see Scrubs? Did you watch Scrubs?
A little bit. Not a lot recently.
There was JD had a fantasy of Courtney Cox's character get hit by an ambulance.
All right.
So, getting buses hit.
There you go.
Then I watched Ghost Town not too recently. And
that has
buses galore. Yeah.
It's been a good year for you.
Yeah. So I'm happy. But, you know, I'm in the middle of watching Brideshead Revisited.
Yeah.
And so far it's not bad. I like Matthew Good.
Yes, he is very good.
Some of these movies can get very stuffy.
It does get a little stuffy toward the end, but it is really interesting. Just all the different weird relationships, and it's all kind of twisted. And there's a cool house.
Cool.
And they go to Venice.
Wow. So, not Venus.
No.
That would be cool. The Brits, the crazy Brits, stuffy Brits going to Venus.
Yes. So.
My pick is Mirrors.
Okay.
Jack Bauer is going up against demons in mirrors in this old... burned out department store.
And that one didn't screen when it came out originally, and I really wanted to see it.
Well, yeah, again, the studios are so scared of what horror movies are going to get.
Yeah.
Which, honestly, I think, if like Lou Luminek from the New York Post says he doesn't like a horror movie, do you really think that's going to keep away the 16-year-old kids that want to go see the horror movie?
No.
And that's the bread and butter. But if it gets some really good responses.
Well, yeah.
I mean, if Brideshead Revisited, if you were to go to Rotten Tomatoes and it got like a 12%, you'd be like, ooh, I might not see this movie.
Right.
But something like Mirrors, like Saw, I think Saw 5 got like a 0.5% of people who gave it a positive review, which was me. But that's not deterring people from seeing that movie.
No.
But Mirrors was actually pretty good. It's directed by Alexandra Aja, who did... Last Office on the Left. He did The Hills Have Eyes. The other Wes Craven rape, murder, and revenge movie.
Right, yes.
He also did High Tension.
Okay.
Which was really good. And it's neat because it's also Jack Bauer kind of playing. He sort of plays, well, he has Kiefer Sutherland basically playing Jack Bauer, who gets fired and becomes an alcoholic and then has to become a security guard.
Nice. So a little bit of Paul Blart.
A little bit of Paul Blart.
Is he fat? Does he ride a Segway?
No, he does not. He's not a fat Segway riding.
That's too bad.
But he's a security guard.
Okay.
But it is
security
cool.
officer.
Officer. That's right. Well, there's a big. In case you don't know, there's a big debate in the industry going on.
That's what I hear.
And when industry, I don't mean entertainment industry.
If you haven't heard it, you will.
You will if you go see Paul Blart. No, but Mirrors. I like Mirrors. And what's the stinker this week? Do you remember? Because you don't see the screens.
My best friend's girl.
That's right.
Yes.
Which I'm like, Kate Hudson's hot, but completely tempered away by...
Dane Cook. I still have my ribbon.
You still have your ribbon? I every now and then I get a request for another one of those.
Really?
Yeah.
I still have mine.
I ran out of stamps. So I haven't sent any out. So, but yeah, stop Dane Cook. You know, yeah, it's just Dane Cook. Anyways, let's do the review wrap-up. Hotel for Dogs, you said.
Sucks.
Okay, I said it kind of... I said it kind of rocked, actually.
I think you may have, yeah.
Yeah. My Blood... No, I said... I can't remember what I said.
I don't know.
Anymore. I'll revisit it. I'll listen to the tape.
Hold on. I know. I said it kind of sucks.
My Bloody Valentine.
We both gave it a kind of sucks. Well, I remember now.
No, we... Oh, did we both give it a kind of sucks? My Bloody Valentine got both preemptive sucks.
Yes.
Paul Blart Mall Cop. That's sucks. The one I said kind of rocks.
Yes.
Because I had fun watching it with my kid. Notorious, I said kind of rocks.
Kind of sucks.
And then Defiance, I said kind of rocks.
Rocks.
Okay, so next week we've got Inkheart, Underworld, Rise of the Lycans. That's another movie they're not screening for.
Mm-hmm.
Last Chance Harvey, which is sort of expanding even more. And that's about it. So fatguysatthemovies.com, and we will talk to you later. Thanks, Kristen.
Thanks. Here I come to save the day.
Safety never takes a holiday.